We are going to continue looking at Psalm 23 this morning. We have two lessons left in this series as we've made our way very methodically through this great psalm. A couple of questions came to my mind as I was looking at the particular verse we're going to study today. And they're questions about our relationship with God, because that's what Psalm 23 is about. It's about relationship, connection with God. And the questions that I was thinking about were questions that, at times when I think about the answer, really bother me. Have you ever tried to hide from God? We know that Adam and Eve did in the garden after their sin. What about this question? Have you ever tried to run from God? Jonah did when he didn't like what God had asked him to do. There have been moments in my life when I've done both of these. There have been times when I've tried to hide from God. There have been times when I have tried to run from God. If these words describe you this morning, if you look at your life and you think, right now, I'm trying to hide from God. I don't want God to find me. Or if you're on this path to the far country, like the prodigal took, if that's where you're at this morning, you need to know this. God is still pursuing you. He is still chasing you because he still wants you. God wants a relationship with you, no matter where you're at in your life, no matter what may be going on, no matter what high or low you may be experiencing. God wants connection with you. And I don't know of a greater text to turn to than Psalm 23 to illustrate this truth. David probably wrote this during the very stress of his life. Certainly he had these thoughts during those difficult moments. He seems to not be writing about things unseen or imagined. It's not some young person looking out into the future, envisioning what life may or may not be like. I believe David is writing about events that he has already realized. These are things that David's been through. The ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, the victories, the defeat, all of it. This is David's life. Here's this beautiful psalm again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This most likely is the poetry of a man who's lived all of this. The shepherd boy became a warrior and a king. In life, it presses in on him very hard. He's going through some challenging times. He covers it in its widest extremes. He tastes all its joy and bitterness. Some people just have a way of squeezing every last ounce out of life. That's David. His heart is full. His heart is empty. He loves and he lusts. He is hunted like a wild animal, and he rules over nations. He digs deep pits for himself into which he falls, but he rises out of them, soaring once again back to God. We often talk about living a full life. Isn't that what we want, to live a full life? But this was it. Into but few lives is so much crowded. Few have touched life at so many points. And we look at David's life, we look at what he did, we look at the struggles, we look at the victories. I believe we could say that his experience of life may very well be universal. Don't we know the highs? Don't we know the lows of life? Don't we know what it is to take that walk of faith? To be devoted to God, to live in a relationship with him, to feel that connection. Think back to the moment when you were baptized into Christ. That feeling, that connection. knowing that you're right with God, knowing the closeness that exists. We've experienced that. But we also know that journey to the distant country, to that far country, where we're trying to get as far away from God as we possibly can. God, if you're there, then I'm going over here. If you're over there, then I'm going. God, wherever you're at, I'm going the opposite direction. Isn't that what the prodigal did? And isn't that what we do at times? We know all of this. David, he was a shepherd boy, but he was also a king. What a contrast. He rose to unprecedented heights, but also experienced tremendous lows. He led Israel in many victories, but he also knew defeat. And now we come near the end of this majestic psalm. We have arrived at the last verse. Some of you are probably thinking, wow, at last, we're finally here. This is the last thought of this beautiful psalm. The swan song, if you will. And here David, he wraps up Psalm 23 with these words. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This was the conclusion of everything that David has experienced. Life captured in this beautiful psalm. It's all wrapped up. It's concluded. We come to the final point right here. And where is David's mind? We've gone on a journey with David as we've looked at all of these different places he has traveled, the ups and the downs, all of these things we mentioned. But as we reach the end, this is where David's mind, this is where it goes. It's possible that we not only arrive at the end of Psalm 23, but we're also arriving near the end of David's life. And this final thought is full of blessing. It actually reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus, he's talking to his apostles. They're overwhelmed. They have this great burden that's been placed on them, this great responsibility to go and take the gospel everywhere. And then Jesus, he reassures them, he comforts them, he gives them encouragement. He tells them, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When you look at Psalm 23, after the falls of the third verse, after the fears of the fourth verse, after the temptations of the fifth verse, still it is goodness and mercy to where his mind drifts. At once these words, they attract our attention. Goodness and mercy. Wow, I want some of that in my life. We're talking about God pouring out these things into an individual person's life. Now, I've said this before and it bears repeating. This is David's relationship with God. This is what David has encountered in life. David has been through all of these journeys, all of these adventures. He's traveled away from God, but now David is back. And he has the assurance so much that he can write these words. After everything that I've been through, after everything that I've done, the good and the bad, I know that God is still pursuing me. His goodness and his mercy, it follows me every single day. It was goodness and mercy that led us first out of the fold with an aim and object in life. We can't live without purpose. There's a lot of people trying and they're miserable. Living without any meaning, living without any direction. And the purpose that we need, it's got to be bigger than us. Because we know how frail we are, all of us. We look in the mirror, we get older, we understand there's got to be more than this. There has to be a higher purpose to aim for. There's got to be something bigger than this right here. And how many people are just living for this? Just living for self? It's a life of misery. Because we see ourselves running down. We see ourselves running out. And we can't help but think, what's next? I know this isn't going to last. I've been away from the farm for a lot of years now. I've been away from the farm longer than I was at the farm. Yesterday, I did a full day's worth of work. I've forgotten what it is to do some hard labor. Now, I do a lot of emotional labor. I think the work of a preacher is more emotional and certainly spiritual in nature than often physical. But yesterday I was reminded of what it's like to put in a full day's worth of physical work. I'm feeling it this morning. I'm tired. I'm worn down. And I'm reminded I can't do now what I could do when I was in my 20s. And all of us, we come face to face with that reality. We realize there's got to be more than this, because this isn't going to last. And that's where we find David, looking beyond this. There was goodness and mercy in that shelter for the sheep from the noontide heat. It was goodness and mercy that led the sheep to the refreshment and rest. And now it's goodness and mercy all the days of my life. All the believer's days are to be characterized by the constant pursuit of two faithful messengers commissioned by the shepherd. It's as if God has sent down two messengers here on earth to continually pursue us, to continually chase us down. Because often we're kind of like the sheep. We kind of go off by ourselves. We go and try to hide, or we go and run away from the flock. And God, He knows us. He knows humanity. And so He has sent these two faithful messengers, His goodness and His mercy, to hunt us down, to pursue us, to chase us, to let us know, hey, come back. There's something better for you over here. Goodness and mercy to David, they were constant. They would never leave him for an instant. All the days of my life, goodness and mercy shall follow me. The shepherd continues to lead on. The heavenly escort will follow all the way. God's goodness and mercy will never sleep, never fail, never prove inadequate. Now, where else can we find this? If we're looking for something that's going to last, if we want to find something that's eternal, that's forever, we can't find it anywhere else. People that try to find purpose in themselves, people that try to find meaning in money and stuff, you can't find it because that stuff doesn't last. Here's a sad statement, but it's true. Everything in life fails at some point. Everything at certain moments proves inadequate. Stuff breaks. People break. We fail. I fail. I'm inadequate at times. Everything physical in this life, it doesn't last. What about our faith? What about our connection with God? That's what we have that can live on. Our shepherd's goodness and mercy, it will never forsake you. It will never let you down. It will never break up with you the day before Valentine's Day. It's going to stick around. They are part of the provision of a loving God who has determined to give personal, individual help at every moment. This knowledge of His care and concern, it just blows me away. It's breathtaking to think about what God has done for us. And we look back, just like me, you probably look back to the cross, you look back at Calvary, and you're just, wow, look at what Jesus did for me. But here in Psalm 23, it's also a glance to the future, a picture of what God is doing for us right now and what He's going to continue to do for us. His concern for us, it's overwhelming. I hope you realize what we're looking at here in Psalm 23, verse 6. I want you to see the importance of this thought. We're pulling the curtain back in getting a glimpse of our Father's love. I would dare to say it's even bigger than that. We're getting more than a sneak peek. We're getting more than just a glimpse. This is the full picture. This is God's love on full display for us to see and know and experience. Over in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, we know the story where Jesus washes the feet of his apostles. Do you remember what John wrote about Jesus? Before Jesus filled that basin with water? Do you remember what was said about Jesus before he wrapped a towel around his waist? Do you remember what John wrote about his Savior before Jesus knelt down and actually washed their feet? This is what was written about Jesus. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father. Now, listen to this. Look at the underlined part. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus never stopped pursuing people. When he was alive here on earth, we read in the Gospels and we see Jesus, he is hunting people. He's chasing them down. He's going out to where the people are. He's traveling from village to village, city to city. As he's traveling, people are following in behind him. He's teaching as they're going, and they come across people who are hurt, people who are lame, people who need help, people who are demon-possessed. Jesus always had time for people. And the search that Jesus was on, it was also for his own. It was for the apostles. And John, one of the apostles, he writes this about Jesus. He never stopped loving us. He loved us to the end. His pursuit of Peter continued even after Peter denied him. His pursuit of Thomas continued in spite of Thomas's unbelief. His pursuit of all these men didn't end because they bailed out on him and left him all alone to face a cross. His love, it keeps going. The end did not arrive when he finished washing the apostles' feet. The end, it wasn't the conclusion of Jesus' message to them here in John 13, which extended to John 16. The end wasn't his agonizing death on the cross. That wasn't the end either. The end did not come when Jesus ascended to heaven to reign at the right hand of God. This is what you have to see. This is what is so important. The end still hasn't arrived. When John writes this statement about Jesus, he loved them to the end still isn't here. He still loves, he still desires, he wants relationship with us. And so it's Jesus' love for you, for me, that compels him to continue to pursue us today. And that pursuit continues despite our failures, despite our shortcomings, despite our disappointments, despite our sin. Jesus still pursues us. You can't miss this in David's life. David was not a perfect man. His sin with Bathsheba, it left a mark on his heart. But God continued to pursue him. In fact, sin became so egregious in David's life and in his heart that David, he couldn't even realize what he had done. But God continued to pursue him. And a prophet arrives at his doorstep. God sends a prophet to David, a man named Nathan. And this man shook David's world to its core. I want you to read this as we look at it together, because what you're seeing here, this is God in hot pursuit of David. This is God chasing David. This is God trying to bring him back. And he sends Nathan to him. And he came to him, and this is what Nathan said. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom and was like a daughter to him. This is more than a family pet. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Do you see what just happened? They just killed the family pet. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die." This got David's attention. David's ready to say, "Hey, that guy, kill him." David is king. David has the power to make it happen. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel." This is a picture of God pursuing one man. Why did God send Nathan? Why did God send this prophet to reach out to David? Because God is good, because God is merciful. Now, this is something we need to know. God's goodness and mercy may not always arrive in the manner that we expect. When you read this story right here, probably the first thing you think about isn't goodness and mercy. God's goodness and mercy, it may not show up on your doorstep the way that you want. It actually may arrive with a slap in the face, telling us to wake up. Some of us spiritually need to wake up. Some of us in our homes need to wake up and build up our family spiritually. These messengers may arrive with a kick in the seat, telling us to get up. Laziness isn't okay. Apathy isn't okay. These two messengers from God may arrive at our doorstep, and they may shake us to the core just like they did David. And you know what? Sometimes that's what we need. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This was God pursuing one man. It was God's goodness and mercy that reached out to David. You know, these two messengers are in reality the personified attributes of God. This is who God is. God is good. God is merciful. And these two faithful helpers, they come knocking on our door like Nathan the prophet. God's goodness and mercy, they're in action. And both of them are necessary. God pursues each of us individually. He whispers words of comfort, placing strong arms around the weak, rescuing those who have slipped, bringing back those who have strayed, empowering each one for richer and fuller living. Who does God love? Who does God pursue? Who does God chase? To whom does God extend his goodness and mercy? I believe the prophet Nathan says it better than I can. You are the man. You are the woman. God is after you. He's pursuing you. He wants a relationship with you. And that's what Psalm 23 is all about. Psalm 23 is possible for you. Everything that you read in this beautiful psalm, everything that we look at that David had with God, you can have it as well. This morning, if you need to be baptized into Christ, Or maybe you need to change. Maybe you need to repent of some things. We're here to help each other and encourage each other. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.